Welcome to Email After Hours by Senderscore, powered by Validity.
We're your hosts. My name is Guy Hansen.
And I'm Danielle Gallant, and this is Email After Hours.
So, podcast listeners, where are you going on your next big vacation? Odds are you've clicked on a fair few marketing emails from travel companies searching for your next adventure, exploring all the fun you can have on a 2024 vacation. And of course, as an email marketer, you're also dissecting everything you see in these emails and identifying what they've made and how they're made. And if you know, you know.
And we have a travel marketing expert with us for this episode of Email After Hours. Today, we're welcoming John Kirk, the CRM and design manager at Ice Travel Group, a holiday comparison and travel deal site comprised of icelolly.com and Travel Supermarket. John spent 7 years at Ice Lolly and then captained the ship as the two companies merged in 2021. And today, we're going to learn how he navigated this corporate merger from an email perspective and some of the challenges he faced along the way. And especially when you're marketing in a very, very saturated industry. So, John, welcome. It's a real pleasure to have you here on Email After Hours, myself and Danielle today.
Thanks for having me on, Guy and Danielle. It's a pleasure to be here. And I know we've done some stuff in the past, so it's very nice to be back on again.
And John, we always start off with an icebreaker, and this is one of our favorites because Guy and I love talking about an email oops. So what's one of your most memorable mistakes or stories from maybe early in your marketing career?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. You know, if I go back really far early on in my career, there was, you know, there's always been a few little things that could have happened in the past, but there was one that does stand out in particular. And basically, we as a team collectively in the CRM team that was in a company that will remain unnamed in this instance, we basically sent out an email to like a 250,000 customer base. And it had like dummy copy, lorem ipsum in the copy. And needless to say, we were all just like, oh my God, what have we done? But it was fine. You know, we overcome that challenge. You know, these things happen. It slipped through the net. We sent out an apology email, which ironically outperformed the thing that we had sent originally, which, you know, that's always case in point with these kind of things. So
that's one of our favorite topics here on Email After Hours. We love a good oops, don't we, Daniel? But more to the point to today's topic. So here at Validity, we work with brands across loads of different industries and many senders in the travel industry. And while we're familiar with some of the unique challenges that come with travel-related email marketing, we want to hear it from a true veteran and expert. So John, let us tell us about some of the unique challenges that programs like yours face.
Yeah, so there's probably a few that stand out initially just off the top of my head. So, you know, you've got a lot of companies obviously in this space, as you would with any vertical, but a lot of the time we're marketing a lot of unique products, you know, destinations, that kind of stuff. And so a lot of the time there might be stuff like stock libraries and photographs that are actually the same. So you're playing that through in emails with providers that are doing similar stuff. There's competitors doing similar stuff. So it's a challenge that you have to overcome by, you know, really trying to hone in on how you can stand out in the inbox. And, you know, other things like pricing, you know, sometimes within the kind of inventory that we have a unique problem of, you know, there can be up to like a billion combinations. I think someone once quoted to me. Of products, you know, we're pulling flight times, flight prices, API calls to actually package stuff together dynamically in real time.
How do you tackle them? Like, what are your go-to tips to combat the challenges that you guys face?
Yeah, so, I mean, we try to infuse as much creativity into the inbox as we can. Ice Lolly, for example, which is one of his brands, is very playful. We've got some really interesting brand stuff that we've done over the last year or two where we've partnered with people who worked on Wallace and Gromit, and have worked on all kinds of really interesting stop frame animation. We took those characters and we've kind of permeated them through the entire email journey. And we've used like generative AI so that we're not just using that stock imagery to really bring the emails to life in a unique way. So probably a bit of a hot topic now, obviously AI, but we're actively using it within our email program now to really lift the creative element. In terms of the pricing and the billions of combinations of product that I talked about, where it's quite hard to land, and make sure that we're hitting the correct price at the right time. You know, we're working with third-party providers in terms of, you know, they provide dynamic email services that allow us to use APIs to inject that into the emails via live imagery, essentially. So we're fusing all different means of technology that we can leverage to try and enhance that experience for our customers. So it's interesting to me. It's fun. It's different, you know, doing the AI stuff. It's definitely feels like cutting edge to a degree. So yeah, exciting stuff.
That's really great, John. And for the benefit, I think, especially of our North American listeners, if you're not familiar with Wallace and Gromit, check out Curse of the Were-Rabbit, probably the finest pieces of claymation brought to film ever. But more to the point, thinking back a couple of years, I'm probably stating the absolutely obvious when we say that the COVID-19 pandemic had a huge impact on the travel industry. And we're probably still seeing that impact today. And I've got no doubt that your email program needed to make some significant shifts in strategy at the time. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, as a challenge, it was quite pervasive, you know, not just in our vertical, but, you know, hospitality and other areas where, you know, we actively send people abroad and you can't do that when you're in a lockdown, right? So, you know, we found that people were obviously not as engaging as much with that type of product. So we had to really shift strategy, think quite quickly on our feet around what we could do to really keep people engaged in this kind of period where it felt like we were in kind of suspended animation, right? So, you know, we achieved this by working with some other partners within food and drink and that kind of thing. So we were looking at like ways of means of leveraging products that was like very still in the wheelhouse of like destination. So we were partnering up with like kind of Spanish cuisine companies and things like that, where we were then trying to get them leads to really keep people interested in the destinations that they were working with. And so, yeah, there was a lot of longer form content. We were even doing stuff to like really try and engage with people on an activity level. You know, people were stuck in the houses. So we were like, well, let's make like almost like an activity booklet for children. So this was like a really different and strange period to be in, because essentially the market was just kind of turned off. But we did, you know, start to look at other ways and means to generate experiences that were relevant for us customers. So we started looking at UK market stuff as well, and sort of looking at the domestic holiday market and seeing if we could leverage stuff there. So that also was something that we moved towards in that period.
Everybody is mostly listening to this instead of watching this record, but I wish everybody could have seen the way that John's face fell when Guy mentioned COVID. It was just, yeah, we're all with you there. And I personally spent way too much time building like future travel itineraries during COVID as a coping mechanism.
So John, I slowly joined with Travel Supermarket to form Ice Travel Group in 2021. And I think in the context of the last few minutes of conversation, what a time to try and combine two travel companies, by the way. In the midst of all that was going on in the world at that time, it must have been a real challenge to merge marketing teams from two different businesses. What was the process like?
Yeah, I mean, similar to any merger, you know, there's always going to be inevitable challenges. You know, you've got two different teams with different ethoses and you need to bring those together, right?
It's certainly stressful. Like corporate merger just itself sounds like a stressful thing. And we've joked, you know, there's a list of the most stressful events in a person's life, like death of a loved one or divorce. And Guy and I talked about how the email marketer's version of that or on that list would be an ESP migration. And you had a double doozy, a corporate merger and an email migration. And part of that merger involved moving of Travel Supermarkets ESP over to Dot Digital, where you and Ice Travel or Isolly already were. So tell us about the unique challenges you faced and what strategies you employed to ensure a smooth transition there in terms of moving ESPs.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a big area, like you say, doing a migration, and it's something that can keep you up at night as an email marketer when you're thinking about trying to keep all those plates spinning and making sure that it goes well. I guess the main challenge for us is that we work with partners that also publish content through our channels, especially email. So we have commitments that we have to uphold and agreements that we need to fulfill with those partners. And what that meant was that essentially, you know, we couldn't just sort of take hits on volume and, you know, not do things a certain way. We had to basically have continuity all the way through that process. And the way that the two platforms worked, that we were, you know, we'd moved from our legacy platform to Dot Digital, you know, there were two different frameworks. So we were having to essentially rebuild the content twice, manually check it all. There was some automation as well that we were trying to implement. But yeah, that was quite a task to overcome. And, you know, we were sending simultaneously across the two different platforms as well. So mop up of volumes on the legacy and then, you know, starting off in baby steps and increments on Dot Digital so that we don't over exacerbate the IP. And, you know, we got there. IP certification as well. You know, I can't deny that that was also a real help for us, because it just meant that we were able to kind of unshackle the volumes a little bit and really move through that process a bit quicker. So we got the plan from Dot Digital, and, you know, we were looking at it, and then Validity were also like, you know, I think you can go a bit faster on this, guys, to be honest. Like, you could probably hit bigger volumes earlier on. So, you know, that gave us the confidence to move through that process quicker, basically.
That's great to hear, John, and thanks for sharing some of that feedback. It's always great to hear. I think you guys have clearly thought this through, but, you know, even the best laid plans are great. You know, it's like that old Mike Tyson quote, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And migrations come with bumps and hiccups. So was there ever a time during your migration where, despite the best planning, you know, you're getting a bit close to the shit coming to hit the fan?
You know, like, we're all human, right? We made mistakes, right? So, you know, some data kind of moved into the wrong account accidentally. And, you know, that was just one of those things. And, you know, but the great thing about it was that we learned from that, and we were able to understand that there were fail safes in place. So there was actually no damage caused, but it was actually ironically a really good thing to go through. Sometimes you have to, you know, you have to fall to get back up again. Right. And we just then found out about fail safes and things that were going to happen on the account that kind of, we were like, right, okay, it's not the end of the world. We can just reverse it and no damage done, but, you know, slap on the wrist, won't happen again. So it's, you know, everything turned out fine. But yeah, one of those, you know, like we said, the first question you said was on the icebreaker, right? You know, these things do happen. So yeah, that was something that did occur.
I have yet to see an ESP migration that's like 100% smooth anyway. There is always a bump that's gonna happen or a little hiccup. And
really? Even the ones you manage, Danielle?
No, mine are perfect. Everyone, clients, mine are perfect. But, and so moving away from maybe the more stressful stuff that Ice Travel has gone through, I would say that we had some questions about content too. And we've already, you know, said that both brands have a distinct and unique identity. But I guess I was wondering, were there or are there any plans to bring the brands closer together in terms of tone and content? Or did that question ever come up?
Initially, when we were first merging, you know, early doors, we were looking at the brands. There were all kinds of discussions, to be honest, about what the direction of travel should be and what the right approach would be for our customers. But in the end, you know, when we laid all the cards out on the table and looked at the product offering and the way that the brands spoke to the customers, we just thought that, you know, we've got comparison at both sort of sides of the market with this expertise and all this stuff with car hire, and then we've got the deal side, and it just felt just to naturally just keep them distinct from one another, because they have just got such great sort of brand identities, you know. And so we did go through a process of, over the last couple of years, again, just looking at the brand architecture, really getting under the hood of the values and the USPs and the central proposition of the two. And then that's where we just, yeah, we netted out that tone of voice content should just remain separate, and we'll build out these two brands that, that have got a unique proposition. And yeah, that's where we got to with that.
That's really interesting. And I'd actually like to build on that a little bit, perhaps going a little bit off-piste in terms of the conversation we prepared for today. But thinking that when you do a migration, one of the best practices is, yeah, it's a great opportunity to prune your email lists, get rid of all those old addresses, you know, don't bring the dead wood with you onto the new platform. And wondering that, you know, with two distinctly different email programs as you built them, perhaps there's different acquisition practices, different ways that those lists have been acquired and built. And did you see any of that as you were preparing Travel Supermarket to come on board on the .digital platform?
Yeah, I mean, there was a big piece of like data cleansing that we had to do actually as part of Travel Supermarket side, because there's like a global suppression list built into .digital. So there were a lot of emails that we were unsure about. You know, there's a lot on the list for TSM that had been in there for like over a decade. Are they still active? You know, are we getting into the realms of pristine spam traps and all the rest, and how risky that was? So, you know, again, just jumping on the validity thing there, you know, we decided that we needed to get that list through the verification tool just to check and understand what the hygiene factors were on those contacts. And you know, we had to make some decisions around whether these were the right sort of contacts to remove or not, what are the risks. And again, you know, to bring Coralie into it, you know, we had discussions with Coralie. I was like, can you just advise me around whether these are safe to do or not? You know, and we were testing a lot of things. So yeah, it was a whole plethora of things around the way that the contacts had been captured. You know, we with TSM, again, because there's different products, we're getting different kinds of data from different areas within TSM. It's not just around the holidays. You can book car hire, but you can get car hire access insurance, and then we get booking information through there. And it was just understanding like what the hygiene factors were and how we need to suppress contacts and getting into the detail there. But yeah, there was a bit of work around that, and I think we've found a good process moving forward now.
List hygiene, a topic interesting maybe only to email nerds and no one else in the world.
I'm thinking though, right? It's a really important
one. It is. Doesn't
like a good pristine trap.
And, okay, well, I guess it's a perfect segue, obviously. We're hyper-focused on email, but for you bringing two brands together, there's a bigger story there, right? So on the other side of the merger, how did you use email to solidify your brand alongside other mediums that you might be leveraging as well?
Yeah, so this, to be honest, this was one of the key factors of why we made the migration, was because we looked at some of the tool sets that were going to be available to us in .digital, and we were like, you know, pros and cons to moving platforms. And one of the key things for me, for my area was, you know, how do we start to enrich other channels with some of the insights that we get from email, retargeting, things like that. And so there were just native integrations that we were able to plug in off the bat, off the shelf, you know, integrating with paid social, paid media, so that, you know, we could build out retargeting schedules and programs on that basis. So it's just like unlocked some new untapped potential for us, which is great. And now, you know, we're seeing that pay dividends, and we're putting the platform to maximum use where we can.
Now, we discussed earlier that travel is a fiercely competitive industry. And you were telling us a few minutes ago, you know, how you define the sort of tone of voice of your brands, you know, the fact that Ice Lolly has traditionally been quite irreverent and informal, and that helps to define your tone of voice. What else? You know, how do you stand out as a brand from your competitors in this super saturated market?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the classic big question, is what makes Ice Lolly and Travel Supermarket unique? At the end of the day, I always say this to people around, if we think of it through the lens of comparison, right? So, you know, people spend hours looking at how to compare energy prices, phone contracts, all those kind of different things that are quite, let's be honest, not to diss those sectors, but it's not as exciting, right? Truth be told. And so why would you not want to compare one of the most exciting aspects of your life, you know, that year, potentially, if you go in on a yearly holiday? So it's, people need to remember that, you know, we compare that market in a very distinctive and unique way. And so that's what really allows us to separate ourselves from the rest of the holiday market. You know, people can go direct if they have preferences in that way. But if you come to us, you might be able to save time and money. And so that uniqueness is what allows us to sort of stand out amongst the competition in the holiday vertical, really.
And I do know that, like, because there are just so many, I mean, even myself, if I'm looking to go away anywhere, I'm looking on, like, I don't know, 50 different sites, or doing at least 100 searches, like, just to try to navigate first where to begin. But as the sender, right, it's kind of easy to lose track of what your competitors might be doing. We're often so focused on our own programs. And it's, you know, of course, important to compare, you know, year over year results to your own program. But what strategies do you have for comparing competitor programs? And have you learned anything from any of your competitors?
Yeah, so this has become a very big piece for us, actually. And so it's quite a timely question. We sort of take time, actually, to dissect and start focusing on brands and different companies where we see something that's, like, really piquing our interest, or they might be doing something in the marketplace that's really distinct. Let's all, not just email, let's all just look at what's happening within this business and just begin to, you know, really try and get under the hood where we can. Obviously, with CRM, there's a few things that we can do. You know, we've got the competitor analysis stuff and intel in validity. You know, it's great to see time of day, seeing where those peaks and troughs might be in terms of the cadence of where the sends are occurring in other competitors' platforms and programs. So we'll use a myriad of things. You know, there's mail charts for those who might not be aware of it. Again, that's another tool that you can jump in, look at the creatives, look at the programs. So it is worth delving in as much detail as you can, or taking that time. I know that a lot of people get stuck in that BAU loop where they're just sending, they're looking at their own stuff, they're not looking anywhere else, but it is worth taking time to just look above the trenches, as it were, and just see what's going on in the marketplace, so that you can stay on trend and you can go, actually, that's really great. How can we put a unique spin on that?
Yeah, we're big fans of MailChart, so really glad to hear you like it too and get value out of it. Now, really important question for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, because we're starting to get those first little clues. It's like really exciting that summer's finally on its way. So what's the most important piece of email fine-tuning that you're going to be doing over the next few weeks as you get your programs ready for this business critical period?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched a little bit on that sort of seasonal change as we move out of January and we start to approach summer, you know, especially for Isolay and TSM, you know, people come to our tools and use our tool sets to look at comparing really late and last minute deals. So we'll sort of pivot our messaging, start looking at how we can really tighten up certain retargeting messaging around targeting that latest market. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to start rolling out actually on TSM. Sorry, that's the abbreviation for Travel Supermarket. And we're gonna be launching some different alerts and things moving forward. So, and that's all based on some behavioural stuff that we've now released. So yeah, there's gonna be some strategic changes. We're also leveraging how we pull some of the product back into our emails, which is you know, really working for us quite well at the moment. So we just keep doing what's working well. Stop doing the stuff that doesn't work well, right?
Well, I for one, am going to have a struggle after this recording finishes to focus on work and not go to Isolay Travel Supermarket and just start browsing. But we are coming to the end of this, another wonderful conversation. And before we close out, we have a couple of quick fire questions for you, John, and I'm going to go first. What was your biggest, you know, aha moment from the past year in email?
Good question.
Only pick actually, one in this wild year. It's hard to choose.
I guess literally we've been working with feeds and APIs, and we've just done some tinkering around the edges on how we leverage our inventory. I know that's getting into the nitty-gritty detail, but it's meant that we've seen really big jumps in click revenue because we're starting to really use kind of crowd and sort of, you know, what are the popular elements and destinations and hotels and properties, and kind of leveraging all that back through our own technology, which is like, you know, the comparison stuff that we've built over the years. And yeah, that's been the aha moment, because we're like, okay, we can really turbocharge this within the email now. So yeah, really positive. And it's been a team effort as well. The commercial team, our product team, have all come together to be like, how do we get this into our marketing channels and really push the envelope on what we're already doing? So a good team effort.
Nice. And from my side, Danielle and I often joke on this show that we just seem to swim in this sea of acronyms and industry jargon. Is there a marketing trend or a buzzword that you'd really like to see retired because it's way past its sell-by date?
Oh, man. I, for one, would say when I do hear the term, and I apologize to anyone out there who might be seeing this, who's like, I just used that term today in an email or a conversation. Whenever I see the word e-shop, it just feels like something from like 1996, and it kind of like makes me cringe a little bit. I worked in a company when I first started doing email marketing that was called eShop Media. Props to those guys. They're not called that anymore, funnily enough. But yeah, I'd like to maybe see that retired.
I find myself thinking it's like a scene out of Star Wars, and, you know, sort of Han Solo is in Mos Cantina and he goes up to the bar and it's like, bartender, give me a couple of e-shots.
Excellent.
What do you say, Danielle? Are we done for today?
I think we're good for today. I mean, obviously we love talking to, we just get to speak to such a variety of you know, industries and program types. And I have to say travel is my personal favorite. So this was awesome. How about you? You close us out for today, Guy.
Absolutely. I love travel too. John Kirk, it's been such a pleasure having you here on Email After Hours with myself and Danielle. To our listeners, Danielle's heading off to Palm Springs soon, which is great. I'm going to be finishing up the rest of the British winter, which is less great. But we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with more Email After Hours. So join us then. We'll have another great episode. Be sure to tune in next time and hit subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And don't forget to visit senderscore.com for loads more great resources to help you become a stronger sender.
To all you sleepless senders out there, thank you for joining us after hours, and see you next time.